Did you see both angles of the video?
Nayland Palin? No, I've never seen it.
There's a second angle?
I thought it was POV.
I mean, you want to talk about Cirque du Soleil, Cirque de Asshole. That's a show in Vegas you need to pay money for. A ring toss? I'd throw $5 in to get a ring toss on the pink sock.
Guys, thanks for tuning in to the Domesticated Savages podcast. On this date, we've got the whole crew here. On this date and time, the year of our Lord, which is, I'm not going to say it because who knows when it's going to be released. Hopefully soon.
Hopefully at least in the year 2024.
Yes, on the year of our Lord 2024. I've got the crew here. I've got Jeremy.
Hey, what's up?
Howdy. I've got Fitz.
Buenos dias.
He likes to fall back on that Spanish one. And I've got Joss.
Save the best for last.
Save the best for last.
Save the best for first. It was me.
fight.
Yeah. Jerry. 80% of our listeners don't get that.
Nah. Jerry?
They're like, who's Jerry? Sailor Jerry?
You're always talking about Jerry, drinking? Though.
Tom and Jerry?
I used to watch Jerry Springer after school with my friends. I was in like fifth grade. We'd go home.
She's like, I was in kindergarten learning from Jerry Springer.
She's like, I was learning how to emulate these people on this show with Jerry.
I know. And I failed. I have like married to my kid's dad.
You have all your teeth.
You have all your teeth.
You got no felony convictions.
I know
as
who
an
the
adult.
Father of all my babies
you
are.
You haven't had to do any daddy checks on the DNA.
You're not banging your husband's dad's brother's uncle's stepson.
What a failure.
Usually there's closer relation on the Jerry Springer for who they're banging.
Yeah.
Is it?
Like, I'm banging my sister.
Usually it was like, I'm banging my husband's brother. His dad in a threesome at the same time.
Yes.
And I'm pregnant with the dad's baby now.
Which is funny because, you know, the Jerry Springer stuff you're talking about, it's like, we deal with that shit on calls all the time.
Oh, yeah.
We've told some stories about that. Like, I told that story about the gal who was married to this dude and she finds out that her mom's banging her husband. The mom's banging the daughter's husband.
Yes.
Or so she bites the husband's penis off. Yeah, that was fun.
That one on the east side that I had, that was the wife was banging the husband's brother. And the husband's brother's wife was banging the other husband's brother. Like, they were all intermingling.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
That was awesome.
It wasn't like a swap.
No.
I
think
you said swamp. I was like, yeah, it sounds like a swamp.
It was not a swap. This was all.
No swapping?
This was not a pineapple event.
This was unbeknownst to the others trying to keep it covert.
Correct. And they're just banging each other within the in-law family.
Branch out.
Set your sights outward, man.
Right? Yeah.
Broaden your horizons.
Like, I understand keeping it in the family, but I don't think I don't think they meant that saying in regards to your genitals.
Who you're banging.
Yeah, that was like, keep the trust in the family or whatever, not the genitals.
How does that end? Did they just...
It was a giant cluster and a bunch of people went to jail. It was a bunch of criminal mischief stuff because it was a family dinner. I've told the story before.
So hold on.
Sure.
Did they evolve from Blood Brothers to Seaman Brothers?
What is it? Eskimo?
Eskimo Brothers.
Is that
Eskimo
what it
brothers.
Is?
That's the term, yeah.
It ended up being like an Eskimo family, apparently. Yeah. Like, if I remember correctly, the mom, like, of the...
Was filming it all? Kids, she's like, hell yeah.
She was actually propagating it. She was setting it up.
Beknownst to her, and I think she was helping facilitate, covering. Like,
I was kidding. I was kidding.
This is for real.
This is Jerry Springer, bro.
They had this big dinner celebration thing in the backyard. They had like this covered tent and everything.
So weird.
We showed up and there's like wine spilled everywhere. There's glass and plates broken. Food's all... Dude, it was...
How many people went to the hospital?
None.
Oh, lame.
So there wasn't like violence on each other. It was, you know, people slamming plates, throwing drinks in each other's faces, wine glasses being broken and wild. Dang, the dad was enough. Beside himself.
The dad didn't know about it at all.
He was the only one. No idea.
Yeah, he was pissed because nobody was banging him. Not even
the
mom.
He's like, I've got all these daughter-in-laws and nobody wants my dick. Come on.
Weird.
I made your husband.
Odd.
Thank me for my service.
He's like, just come to the source.
Literally.
Yeah.
Come on the source.
With the source. Yeah, exactly. Gross, bro.
Speaking of coming, should we start with our first story?
Absolutely. Let's do the stories.
We're going to Jake's favorite state of Florida.
Dude, I love Florida. How come so many stories come from Florida?
Because it's the best fucking state you can have.
Amazing. So this was actually sent to us by a listener, Mac, my boy.
All right.
Served in the Marine Corps with him. He thought we would get a kick out of this one. So this originated in 2019 and then resurfaced again in 2021.
Okay.
So in 2019, the Miami Miami Heat went into a agreement with a company, a cryptocurrency company called FTX, and they were the owner of the arena that the Miami Heat played in.
Yeah.
Well, the same time that FTX put in their bid, another company put in a bid to own and name the facility.
Pray tell, what other company was this?
Oh, it was called Bang Bros.
No kidding.
Oh,
I shit you not.
Bang Bros?
Bang Bros put in a $10 million bid to operate and name the Miami Heat Arena. Obviously, they didn't win because they went with FTX. Well, a couple years later, FTX goes out of business. So the Miami Heat says, okay.
Yeah. Bang Bros is still going strong.
So they open up bids. And who steps right in to make another bid? Bang Bros. They put out their, on their social media, it says, to at Miami Heat, in 2019, we submitted a $10 million bid for the naming rights to the arena, suggesting the name Bang Bros Center. In parentheses, it would be named the BBC.
Oh my gosh.
British Broadcasting Corporation.
The company posted this on Twitter. Due to recent news about FTX, we are resubmitting our offer as the new home of the Miami Heat. So they rebid for it again in 2020. Obviously, they didn't get it. It's with Cayusa, Karut, some weird.
In my opinion, company, that's bad managing. One, because porn's been around forever. Cavemen. There was some dude banging a cave woman and his neighbors watching, chiseling that shit into some stone.
They're doing those hieroglyphs.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at all Egyptian hieroglyphs, it's all porn. Scholars will try to say it's about, you know, different rituals and different gods. No, it's all porn.
It's porn.
If you look at
it's a sacrificial depiction
of porn.
Doesn't look like that.
Yeah, it's porn.
It's porn. It's all porn.
That was their BDSM stuff.
And so if you have a company that is a porn company wanting to support that porn, it's going to be around forever.
Yeah. You know, if you look at the most trafficked websites in the world,
it's Pornhub.
The top 10 is comprised mostly of
like 7 or 8 websites. It's all porn.
It's crazy.
And so why would you not, like, you always go in tip first on porn offers. Always. And you know what? And I think the naming of the arena was bad. The BBC called the Cum Dumpster Arena.
Cum Dumpster Arena.
Especially since the Miami Heat suck.
The Cum Dumpster Arena.
Holy shit. The Cum
Dumpster Arena.
Oh my
they missed, goodness. They missed the mark.
Yeah.
They couldn't find a G spot.
And then you usually have like the team bus, right? That takes you to the arena and wherever. You could call that the Bang Bus.
The Bang Bus.
The Bang Bro Bus.
Yeah.
Hold on. So do we finish the story? So they put their bid in again on 21.
They lost.
They lost obviously. It out. And did they make any responses to it or anything like that?
No, I'm assuming they just ignored it.
So I wonder how much faith or hope they truly had that their bid was going to be actualized and they were going to
It would be good to know what
initially, they really think that.
In 2019, what did Bang Bros bid and what did FTX bid?
I have no idea.
So like if FTX bid like $70 million and Bang Bros came with 10, I'm like, okay, I can see that.
Yeah. I can see it being a big bid though. 10 million seems low.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It depends on how long the contract is.
Yeah.
Probably, right?
Well, and with FTX going out of business, you would think that they would maybe be a little bit desperate to,
to
find a sponsor.
There's so many sponsors out there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know who this Kiara Nalabalaga is.
Spell that.
It's who owns the building now.
English.
It's called the Casilla Center.
Wow, you were real close on that one there, Fitz. Casillas.
The arena was previously named. Oh, man. I don't know what Casillas is.
Spell it.
Kaseya.
Did you know how many people?
It's a porn site.
It's probably some Dutch Rudder
software company.
I
thought he was going to say
a Miami
porn.
Hold on. It's a Miami based software company. Lorno. I can't imagine that they beat out a $10 million bid.
Software companies are huge.
Never heard of Casillas.
Yeah. You could have a software based company
based in Miami,
based in wherever.
Global.
They've got a mass ton of money.
Yeah. But again,
Bang Bros.
They've got a 16-year contract.
Lock that shit down.
Doesn't say how much. It was undisclosed amount.
I wonder if in the deals of the contract, Bang Bros is like, look, we'll pay this, but we get to shoot like 10 porns a month.
I bet you money they would.
You know, on the court. I bet
you they would. They think they have the naming rights, so they're going to be able to do whatever the hell they want inside that place. I bet you money that was part of it. At least they thought.
And they would have a Chinese actor, LeWong James, instead of LeBron James.
LeWong.
LeWong.
LeWong. That's a good porn name.
LeWong James. names.
He couldn't be Chinese.
Well,
naked Chinese porn?
Dude, there's fetishes for everybody.
Yeah, there's something for everybody.
Is that hi, I'm Le Wong. I bang you now.
Your name is very misleading.
Be Le Short.
That sounds more like a...
Oh, shit. Okay.
Like an Irish name or something. What would that be? Le Short, Le Fleur. What's that? That's
French.
Short, Le Fleur.
I'm Le Wong. I make love to you. Hee, 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 ha, ha, ha. Zutala, I have missed one.
So the dude who... We were watching Beauty and the Beast, the cartoon.
Yeah.
And the candle, what's his name?
Lumiere.
Lumiere. So is his voice, does he do the multiple voices on Disney cartoons from back in that time? Like,
sure.
Is he the same as Sebastian?
Yeah, he sounds like...
Let's find out. Oh, by the way, Casilla is their evaluation in 2019 was $2 billion.
But what
was Bang Bros?
What was Bang Bros' evaluation 2019?
You guys are going to make me look that shit up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where the fuck are you, George? This is your damn job.
I don't know why George is it, but George is it. He's been dubbed.
George's son.
He volunteered to, don't you remember?
Yeah,
when
I remember
we first
that.
Started this years ago.
Before we ever recorded an episode. Yeah,
I can't find an analysis for them.
He's on Bang Bros right now looking. He's like,
no, I'm not.
Video,
it's on
video,
Google,
video,
damn
video. He's like, I can't find it.
He's in the search bar of Bang Bros.
No,
evaluations.
It's kind of just
you can't go to the website. You have to go to Google Fits.
I'm on Google. Fucking idiots.
You got to do is type in how much is Bang Bros worth.
I did.
What did it say? 10 inches?
I put in Bang Bros net worth and it doesn't say anything.
You know how like at games they'll have like the shirt cannon? Dude, if Bang Bros, they could be just a big old like shape of a dick shooting white shirts at you. Damn, I got a shirt. Fucking firing it off in that shit.
It has to be a significant amount of money.
So I don't know about their company or anything like that. It says here on worthofweb.com, how much is bangbros.com worth? In this section, you can find out the estimated value of this website in U.S. dollars. They calculated based on our estimation for daily, monthly, and annual revenue. We can view these revenue figures in the next section. Data. Estimated worth of this website, $85.75 million.
That's just the website. That's probably not the parent company that...
So it's just based on traffic. Crazy.
Not bad.
$86 million just based off traffic to your website. Oh, geez. Estimated revenue per day, per month.
So that's just... $12.8 million. That's just people buying videos or whatever.
Due to traffic. That's what they guess they're making.
Guarantee that's not like the parent company and all their assets.
Of course not.
Because they've got assets.
Their estimated page views per year, 4.25 million.
How much is that a day?
So 4.2...
No, sorry. Sorry, I'm lying. I'm way off. I got to add a couple zeros. It's 4.25 billion.
A year.
Sorry, you said 4.25 billion?
Billion page views per year.
People visit their page every year, 4.25 billion. In 2 years, that's...
That's not a good... So you're saying $84 million is their revenue.
So they're estimated.
$84 million, estimated $84 million in annual revenue.
Well,
with 4.25 billion
I think
per year.
Page views per year, yeah.
They're making 1 cent per view.
No, I think what he's saying is just like, just from just the website, not like the whole parent company with merch, sponsorships, all these other things. I think it's just the website itself.
I think this website right here, because I don't know if Bang Bros releases their revenue figures. They're just basing it off of like, with this many page views, this is what an average company would make per year.
We just went off on a 10-minute tangent.
Pretty lame. All right, cool. So bring it back. Bring it back. That was pretty lame.
Could you explain, or could you imagine trying to explain to your mom when you're leaving for the day and she's wondering why you're not in her basement?
Oh yeah, mom, we're going to go see a basketball game at the Bang Bros
The Bang Bros Center. I'm going to the Bang Bros Center. She's like, what? You're doing what? We're going to watch a basketball game.
Is that what they call it nowadays?
Okie dokie. Should we go to a super sad story?
Is that all we wanted to say about the Bang Bros Center?
So,
anything else?
I
just got some more intel.
So the parent company's site or something called xvideos.com with just one X, and in a couple little Google searches, it says anywhere from 3 to 4 billion total for the company.
Why didn't they throw down hella money then?
Because they knew they weren't going to get it.
They knew no one's going to go for that.
Even if they were the highest bidder, I don't think they'd go for
Miami's
it.
Miami's not going to go with
I'm
that.
I'm sure if you sit down and like negotiate the name.
But even with the context of like, okay, people are going to investigate as to who owns this company or who named it. Shit. I'm telling you right now, there's going to be blowback. I don't think they'd take it.
$200 million.
Wouldn't. Because they'd say, okay, we get $200 million now, but how much are
What's
we going to
negative
lose?
Press?
The negative press.
How many people aren't going to want to come to the Bang Bros Center?
How much
let's
fan?
Let's say you name it something else. Let's say you name it X Center.
That's Twitter, bro.
But listen, if you're a company and you just invested $200 million, $200, you're not going to want to not advertise that you've just spent $200 million to acquire this.
You're a fucking porn company.
They advertise all kinds of places. They love advertisement.
You name it, the BB Center.
Dick and balls is their bread and butter, baby. Dick and balls is their bread and butter.
You name it, the BB Center. So it's still Bang Bros, but you're just using the initials. Who's going to cry about that?
I guarantee you.
The negative blowback, the negative facial on that is going to be substantial.
You're going to have more than just egg on your face.
Yeah.
What else are you going to have on your face, Jacob?
Jizz.
Shame, but whatever.
The jizz. So you have the jizz. Smoking aces?
Oh, it's good.
It's a bunch of assassins that try to murk this one dude.
He's like, what is that? He looks like a jizz.
Like a jizz.
Your Eastern European load.
I send it out for cleaning. To clean what? It's been in there for 12 fucking hours.
It's combined with the fabric, the fibers.
There's no way. I send it out. To what? Incinerate?
It's a good movie.
The storyline is, it's like Expendables. You don't really watch it for the story. Watch it for everyone getting
just
murdered.
Just entertainment.
It's just straight up entertainment.
It's got Ryan Reynolds in it.
Okay. So that was our story. Would you say you want to go to a sad story?
You want to go super sad? Well, kind of. Halfway super sad.
Halfway super sad?
Halfway.
Would that just be kind of sad?
Somewhat semi-sad.
A little sad.
It's like a chubby.
Depends on perspective. You tell us a sad story and Jeremy's going to turn it happy. Go.
Yeah. All right. So
I'll give it a happy ending.
Happy ending.
This
you'll
one.
Give it a happy ending. You got to get off Bang Bros.
Is that your specialty?
This one comes from the state that our previous friends from the Sinners Among Saints hail from. This is from Provo, Utah. Fucking losers. Anyways.
I'm going to delete the stuff we said between him saying their name and then he's going to get to fucking losers.
Oh, shit.
The Sinners Among Saints, fucking losers. Damn, Fitz. Damn.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. That's going to be a tough one to talk myself out of.
Oh, sorry. When I was editing the podcast with the Saints, there was a part where you're just like obviously joking and talking shit about how you would like cut their hands and feet off. And you immediately laughed after you said that. Like, got to laughing. I cut your laughter part out.
Uh-huh.
And I left like a probably 2 or 3 second just void. And it sounded like all of us were like in shock, you know? And then I brought it back with, I'm going to cut your laugh out on that, bro. And then you start laughing again. Pretty funny. It's a little shock moment. People are like, what the fuck, Fitz?
Fuck. Why people stopped talking to me last week. Makes sense now.
People are like covering their hands and feet up. Like,
hands are in their vests. Like, don't cut my hands off. So a Provo couple is accused of chaining their nonverbal child to a bed for about 10 hours each night. And they were released from jail last week, Wednesday, after the state had taken custody of the girl the previous night. According to court documents filed on March 6th, the mom was ordered to be released around 9:15. She had a bunch of conditions, which is typical of being released from jail. The dad was also released under same conditions. Public safety assessment was conducted for both suspects while they were in jail, and they were recommended to be released on their own recognizance as long as they promised to come back to court and talk to the judge about their assholery.
And they
what was their condition? Like, we're going to release you. Don't abuse kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did they still have custody of their kid at that point?
No. The state took custody
like the night before they got released.
Yeah. So the conditions were to promise to appear for all required court proceedings, promise to not commit any criminal offenses, report your contact information and any change in address, phone, or email to the court and your attorney within one business day of the change, and avoid contact with the victim of the alleged offense, abide strictly by terms of any Utah Division of Child and Family Services reunification.
So there.
So what's the crime?
Child abuse. So essentially what happened is DCFS called Provo PD a little while ago, and they were there. So apparently this has been on DCFS's radar because they went out earlier and they had this same issue, and so they signed a form saying that they weren't going to chain their daughter to the bed.
What the fuck?
Yes. And so DCFS went back out to investigate, then do like a checkup, and lo and behold, daughter is chained to the bed, and they refuse to take the chain off, which is why they called Provo PD. So the officers show up, they see the child chained to the bed, and the dude tells the dad to take the chain off, and the dad tries to argue with the cop for a bit, and the cop's like, no bitch, take the fucking chain off. So dude pulls out a key, unchains the daughter. They arrest the mom and dad, and I think it was prior when they were talking to DCFS, they were saying that this is, the dad said that this has been going on for like a couple months, chain her up around 8:30 at night, and they release her at 6:30, and the child is,
you say 10 year old?
So messed up.
I don't why, think it actually
are, why are they chain why are they chaining the child up?
They have they have older children.
They have other children
so
too
they don't chain up. She has autism, so the parents
said she's nonverbal.
Yeah, so the mom and dad will occasionally leave, and they'll leave the key with the other kids. In here, it even says that there are times that they've left her unsupervised.
10-year-old chained up, and they give the key to the other kids, like, "Hey, let her out if you need to." And then so the officer, back up. What the fuck?
So in the officer's report, he says, "I observed the victim on the top bunk of the bunk bed in the living room with a chain around her ankle. I told the dad to unchain her, and he initially rebutted, but then pulled the key from his pocket and unlocked the padlock."
So she's in the living room on a bunk bed, chained up. So she's just like watching her family live their lives, and she's chained up like an animal.
From 8:30 p.m. to 6:30 a.m. ish, right around that time. There's impressions around her skin from the tightness of the chain. The dad said that they do this every night, or they have been doing this every night for the last 3 months, approximately. No, it does not give any reason why.
Is it? Well, and I don't know, but maybe when they asked him, like, why do you do this? She's like, eh.
Easier
than
having to worry about her escape.
Probably
or some
easier.
Shit.
Well, or if she's like getting up in but the even then, night like, waking them up or something.
I feel like, and I don't know, but I feel like if I showed up to that scene, I'd be like, what the fuck are you doing? And they would have been like, well, it's because A, B, and C. And I'd be like, I would have documented all that in my report and be like, I understand you've told me A, B, and C, but that still is not a reason to be a fucking.
Chaining your child up.
Yeah.
So, chaining your child up?
So it says the dad reportedly told police that he would leave the key with an older child when him and the mom were both away from the house. During these times, victim is mostly left unsupervised while chained, the officer wrote in his report.
Well, because if she's chained, they don't have to supervise her.
Well, here's my issue. It says in the article that DCFS, and so somebody had to report that. That's how DCFS gets involved. Somebody reports it to DCFS.
Somebody saw it.
Says, hey, I think this is going on. DCFS takes it. They go do an initial assessment, and they see that the girl's chained. They're like, hey, sign this piece of paper saying you won't do it again, and we'll be good. And they're like, okay. Like, how do you show up and see that's going on and just say, eh, you should probably
how
stop.
How is that not immediately a
boom.
Call?
That's like, what I'm saying.
Yeah, did it even say says, cops came out the other time?
Booking documents say the parents had previously been reprimanded for restraining their child using a chain and padlock, and they had signed agreements stating not to do this anymore.
They're not signing agreements with police. So they're signing with agreements with DCFS.
Yes. Which, how many times have we had issues with our own
CPS?
Like, that's... Dude.
So I'll tell you this. I had a case and it was in a pretty prevalent shitty apartment, fairly well-known, like low-income shitty apartment housing. Okay. It's those ones you get called to all the time. So like the downstairs check-in manager had called in and there's kids just wandering around the hallway. And mind you that there's like prostitution, drugs, you know, sex assault, like this apartment complex. It's
laden with
anything
crime.
So we get there and I was in detectives at the time. And so we go into the apartment. There is like a 2-year-old, 2.5-year-old, completely covered in shit from the waist down. I had a diaper on, but obviously that couldn't hold like 10 pounds of shit. And then there was like a 6 or 8 month old infant. So we're in the apartment and I see drug paraphernalia, used needles all around. I see that the bathtub was
uncapped needles.
Yeah. I see that the bathtub was mostly full with like dirty water and then all the chemicals under the sink. So I had Crime Lab document all that. I had him do measurements of to where the height that the needles were. So it showed that the kid could easily grab a needle.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I accessible. Had to measure the water in the tub saying, hey, if this little 2.5-year-old fell in the tub, he's going to drown. And documented all the chemicals under. There's no child lock. So chemicals were free reign. And when I screened this case, CPS was like, yeah, I don't think it's child abuse, child neglect. Like, we don't think it rises
to that.
That's
absolute child neglect.
Yeah. 100%.
So, in the screenings, we had a doctor. She was part of a program that the state had rolled out to
child endangerment,
safe and healthy families. Yeah. And so they would, and so this doctor is sitting there in the screening with the district attorney and the CPS workers saying like, hey, I can actually testify as a medical doctor, not a PhD and MD, as a medical doctor that these kids are considered special needs because they can't really fend for themselves in so many ways. So they're basically special needs. And then the little paralegal is like, no, you can't do that. Not the DA.
Paralegal.
The paralegal is like, no, we can't do that. And I was like, a medical doctor just said we could. Because if the doctor testified that the kids were special needs, then it's a felony.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Instead of a misdemeanor.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, we can't do that. And this is the paralegal, mind you. And I'm like, well, that medical doctor over there just said we could.
Yeah.
So then the paralegal kind of gets snippy at me and she's like, oh yeah? What law school did you go to? And I looked at her, I said, the same fucking one you did because she didn't.
Yeah. And, said that just to
yeah.
her?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
And she didn't like me. So
you put her in her place. What was the end outcome with that?
So I think they ended up going for felony charges, and I think they pled it down.
Oh, of course.
Dude, so, I fucking hate the pleading. Holy shit.
It causes recidivism and just the continuation of more and more crimes happening, and you don't protect the fucking victims at all. You're like trying to help out these people. Well, we shouldn't really convict them for more because that's going to alter their life. Like, no. You're victimizing the victims once and again because they're back out again doing the same fucking crimes.
Well, they don't learn their lesson. Not just that, but you're partially invalidating the crime itself. The emotions, the experiences that victim went through, you're hitting them. For example, you hit them with a felony too. Oh, we pled it down to a class A, yada, yada. It's like, okay, so maybe I didn't. Like, maybe my emotions and everything was a little bit of an overreaction. So now, if this happens again in the future, now they're going to downplay everything. Or other victims that are experiencing that are going to downplay their own things. Well, this happened to this person. Maybe I'm overreacting. It's like, fuck that. If it has to do with children or sex crimes, you throw the fucking book at them. Like, literally and figuratively. Like, while you're sitting on the stand, the judge should throw a book in your fucking face.
Literally. Smack you with
literally,
it.
Yeah.
Smash you
with and the honestly, yep. like, you look at it, especially with kids, like, what chance do these kids have to have, like, a decent life? The parents got a misdemeanor, you know, and usually, like, and this is, you know, not in all states, but usually, like, if they've been sitting in jail for 60, 90, 120 days, they plead it down to a misdemeanor. They say, hey, a misdemeanor with time served, so then you'll get released. To be on probation, you know, and often, and how many times, Fitz and Jake, have you encountered somebody on probation that they're actually in compliance with their terms?
None. Like, okay, not none, but very, very, very few. Rarely,
because usually, usually restrictions are like, okay, you can't be using dope, you can't be drinking, can't you can't alcohol. Be out. And every time you're like, oh, I'm arresting you, you're can't on probation.
Commit more crimes,
right?
And you're there because they're committing more crimes.
And then you're like, okay, you're arrested for this crime. Oh, you've got dope on you, which you can't have. Oh, you've been using dope, and they'd be like, well,
you're associating with other felons, which you can't do.
And they'll be like, yeah. I tested hot and my PO just told me not to do it again. Like, okay, well.
So they know you're doing it and they just don't give a shit? Yeah.
Well, and like you said, so with this story, the kid is special needs. And so that's automatically a felony in most states. Like
in most states, if you can articulate.
Special
so
needs.
They saw that the kid was special needs. That's a felony. And they were like, oh, just promise to not
and
do
And they
it
turned
again.
A blind eye basically the first time.
Yeah.
Say, hey, sign this paper.
Sign a paper. Motherfucker, what?
They didn't abide by it? That paper didn't hold them accountable?
The people chaining their flesh and blood to a bed didn't abide by this paper?
You ask yourself, like, okay, cool. You guys started chaining this individual, this child who's special needs, to a freaking bunk bed. And you started doing it because you thought it was good at whatever. It was ridiculous. There's no excuse for it. But you started doing that. Where does it end? Right. Where does it end? You're willing to freaking chain them up? It's like, well, chain ain't working. We got to do something more drastic.
And they'd only been doing
that or the other.
For a few months.
A shot collar. We got to put a shot collar on
it. It's going to escalate.
Right?
Yeah.
And the hard part is, I've seen it multiple times. I'm sure Jake and Fitz, you have. But I've been to houses where people have like special needs kids and they're out of control. And it's like, it's hard. I understand. Like some of these kids, like because of their disabilities or whatever, like they're pretty difficult. And like, I look at the parents, I'm like, and it's hard, but at least most of the parents are like trying, right?
Of course. Yeah.
I remember going on one with my buddy Andrew and so the dad was like in his mid to late 70s. The mom was in hospice and their adult son, who was very special needs, like 30. We had to get him to the hospital. He ended up kicking Andrew in the balls. But it was because he was so special needs that he didn't know what he was doing. And I felt bad because the dad's like, he's going to die soon. And I'm sure he's worried about like when my wife's
what's
dying.
What's going
to
happen now?
Yeah. My wife's dying. I'm going to be dead soon. Like in the next couple of years, what's going to happen to my son? And it's heartbreaking, but to see that
that dude didn't chain his son to the bed.
He did not.
Yeah.
He absolutely did not. And so to see that these pieces of shit were doing it.
Like this kid who has autism is already having a difficult fucking life.
Nonverbal.
And you're going to make it that much more difficult, you piece of shit.
And it's like, okay, you're treating your special needs kid like, what are they doing to the other kids? That the kids are just like, this is normal. Oh, if I take an extra Uncrustable out of the fridge, I get fucking whacked in the head. So it's just normal, right?
Maybe, I don't know. I can speculate.
These pieces of shit are doing some other shit.
Maybe they are. And absolutely, that's a possibility. possibility. If they're willing to do one thing to one, they could do it to another. But you ask yourself, who did make the complaint initially for them to come out there and finally start investigating this stuff, right? Who did? Was it one of the kids? Maybe. Was it a family member who knew about it? Possibly. Stuff that maybe had been said, or maybe somebody walking by. Maybe it was just a rando. Maybe the UPS guy saw it and flipped and called it in. Who knows? There's a lot of possibilities there. But to think that we were able to go out there, or you know, individuals from the state were able to go out there.
Government representatives.
And they were, that's the most that, I don't know.
It's a slap in the face to the person who reported it, right?
Dude,
and
yes.
I can speculate that it could have been a rando mail guy walking by, maybe, but usually it's somebody who knows something.
The bunk bed was in the living room.
Right, but usually...
It's probably somebody with knowledge.
There's somebody with knowledge, and they report it, and then they see that,
you came out here and gave them a freaking paper they signed?
Well, and it is at nighttime, right? They said they typically do it from 8:30 p.m. to 6:30
a.m. So UPS isn't delivering shit at that time.
FedEx dude ain't showing up unless FedEx is delivering some meat.
Hey, it's the pizza guy.
It could be the pizza guy delivering some sausage.
Foot long?
Yeah,
so it most likely, like you're saying, is probably somebody with knowledge of what's going on, potentially a family member, whether it's immediate.
But that makes it worse.
Dude,
that makes it worse.
Let me just be abundantly clear. If I show up to one of my brother's house and I see my niece or nephew chained to a fucking bunk bed, like there's gonna be some words and most likely some type of physical action, probably a domestic violence happening.
Karate chops.
Yeah,
karate like chops. That's
there's gonna be some judo chop.
Kung Fu Panda,
right? Shit going on. Like, dude.
No kidding.
That
blows my mind. But like you said, it alienates the person who reported initially. And then it got reported again. I guess they just came out to follow up. They did a follow-up. That's insane. They come out to do a follow-up and they're still doing it. So they probably almost didn't know they're coming out to do a follow-up. It's probably just a spot check kind
of. Well, and then think of the action then, right? Had they done what they were supposed to do and called the police, that whole thing, at least the second trip of trauma for this poor child could have been avoided, right? You call the cops the first time and that cop shows up and sees that, he's like, yeah, no.
It still lasted.
There's no written agreement for two to three months.
It lasted.
And the hard part is when people read about this, usually in cases like this, when it's like people who maybe are not as well informed, but they blame the cops mostly. How come the cops aren't doing anything?
Well, we didn't fucking know.
Exactly. There's been a lot of times where it's like, well, the cops really know because this agency, what was it?
Department of Child Family Services.
Yeah. They didn't tell the cops the first time.
Yeah.
So now the cops are coming out. It's like, okay, well, you didn't report it to us the first time. For me, that's like you're aiding this couple in their felonious acts.
Why would you not report that? Why would the cops not know about this?
I feel like it should have to be reported, even if there's no action taken.
If they are doing things that are criminal, that should have to be a felony.
I think in most states there's like mandatory reporting.
Yeah.
Like if you know that, especially when it comes to kids. Yeah. Like I know teachers have that. If a child or a kid discloses something to a teacher, they are mandatory reporters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't think it says that they have to report it to the police. I think it can be CPS or DC.
Whatever. What I mean is like, why is DC or CPS?
Right, yeah.
Why is the
government agency
of the state
not
informing the enforcers of law?
Yeah, because a law has clearly been broken here.
Yeah, a crime has been committed.
So I don't know what makes them think like we can sign a paper.
Yeah. We're gonna circumvent the law portion of this and get them into an agreement. It's a civil agreement at that point in time.
Yeah,
right. It's not criminal.
So can even legally could they charge him with the first time? Because it's like, well, the government came.
Oh yeah, you could. Oh, for it's sure. Within, it's documented.
Yeah, if it's within their statute of limitations,
bro, you could totally charge him. It's a felony. That's freaking wild.
Two counts, baby.
Oh,
so I would double up on that shit if I'm that investigator, that detective, whoever's handling it, times two that bitch.
I would
fuck those guys.
I mean, for me, it'd be worth it to sue the CPS people. Be like, you fucking knew, you did nothing.
I'm curious if they have similar protections that we do, like acting in good faith. Although I don't know how much that argument would hold up.
But even then, acting in good faith is like, did you actually act in the good faith of this child by having them sign a fucking
paper?
Right,
and that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I don't know how much weight that argument would hold. If that's common practice, right? If that's policy procedure, that would probably give them a decent amount of weight behind that argument.
Sounds like we need to talk to somebody from some sort of CPS.
Sounds like we should have somebody from DCFS come on here so we can shit all over them. Is that what you're saying?
Let's call them up right now.
You're like, look, fuckhead. Is that a good way to start that conversation?
Yeah.
I mean, I just want to talk to somebody and see what the deal is with this. Like, what the procedure is. Like, why are they doing this type of stuff? It'd be interesting to get an idea.
Like, where's their mind frame at?
I'd be down.
What is their procedure?
How many times have we told stories about our own procedure? CPS?
Absolutely. I I've told that story about that kid who was like burnt up and stuff like that.
He's all beat up.
And I called up CPS and I'm like, hey, we need to get this kid into a facility. He needs to be taken out of mom's custody. And they're like, well, I don't know, really. And I was like, you don't understand me. I'm taking the kid out of mom's custody. I need you guys to get down here. Oh, you're going to do it? Sounds good. They didn't want to do it. They didn't want to do the legwork.
So like, why? What happens is...
Yeah, that's her job.
So it's...
You know what I mean?
It's different from state to state. But what happens is, like, if you show up on scene like you did, we're taking this kid. And then they go to usually like a state facility, Child Haven.
Ronald McDonald's, nationwide stuff.
Then once that happens and you intern that building with the kid, they are now in state's custody. Yeah. And usually those type of agencies, Child Protective Service or DC, whatever, have to do a lot of paperwork. And so they're very hesitant to do that because it's more work for them.
That's what I was alluding to. She didn't want to do it herself because it entailed more paperwork.
Yeah.
It entailed her using some sort of authority to remove the child from the mom's custody. Yeah. But as soon as I did it and I took that exigent, because it was exigent.
Yeah.
This child was in danger staying with mom.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, nope, we're going to take the child out of mom's custody because it's in danger. It's an exigent circumstance. Took the child out. Now, as soon as they remove that child, they're like, cool, we'll do it now because it made it so they had less paperwork.
Yeah. That pisses me off so bad. Like, it's annoying. You're not going to do your job because there's work involved. Like, exactly. What the fuck are you doing then?
What's your job?
I've had
why are you here?
I've had dealings where it was...
Could you imagine if cops said that?
You told a story, bro.
I'm not going to investigate that. That's too much work.
We told the story. It pisses me off too. I'm not saying cops are immune because we do that shit too. Okay, shitty cops do that stuff. Yeah. I said, I'd never fucking do that. But the cops do that shit too. You told that story of that individual who was taking a report on a possible dude who was looking to kidnap, and they did a shitty job on it. Why? Because they're probably looking to not do much, or they just didn't know, which could be a claim too. They're just uneducated with regards to what they can and can't do as a police officer, which your abilities are. Is this what this is for the CPS? Like, is it a new CPS worker who goes out there like, well, let's just have them sign a waiver saying they wouldn't do it again?
That's so messed up.
But even then,
what the fuck, dude? It's not an excuse. I'm saying maybe reason why.
Yeah. But because they always show up in a pair, usually like those agencies.
Typically. I've had them as singles.
Maybe it was like, but I've had cases where we removed she was 14 and mom came home and caught her having sex with a 14-year-old boyfriend. And
Oh, yeah, you told that one. Yeah.
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 And so, but even then, like the mom feigned she was pregnant. She's like, I don't feel good. So fire's like, well, we got to get her to the hospital. I'm like, well, she's my suspect in this. She just stabbed the daughter with some shears. Mm-hmm. So it's Agassald. But, and so the daughter was like, you can't give me to any of my family because they'll just give me back to mom.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I ended up going up to the hospital to talk to mom, and I called CPS and I'm like, hey, here's the deal. And they're like, yeah, we're not going to come out. Can you interview the mom for us? No, I'm not going to do your job for you. You can come out and do your own job. And then there was some fallout from that. So like a day or two later, me and my partner had to go to their office, the CPS office, and basically explain why.
You're like, why didn't you do anything?
And so basically that's what we said.
That's what it came down to.
They staffed this meeting with their supervisor, the CPS who initially took the call, and then like their attorneys. By the time we left that meeting, like all the attorneys were like, hey, thanks for you guys did a good job. And the CPS worker and her supervisor were not pleased with us.
Oh, good.
We almost got a standing ovation.
Do your job in the first place. This isn't just you didn't file the paperwork and this and that. Like, people's lives are dependent on this. And that's innocent
what, like, what would have happened if they signed that paper and then like a month later they do something where and they kill her?
Yeah. They are responsible.
And then they show up and like, hey, what happened? She's dead.
We get there. It's like, holy shit, this kid's been chained up or whatever the case might be. And we go through the backstory of it. It's like, oh shit, CPS already came out here. They didn't let us know. Yeah. They had her sign a paperwork. Had the parents sign paperwork saying they wouldn't do it again, but they obviously did it and like graduated to worse things.
Yeah.
Like, why didn't we know about this? Well, now you're freaking liable.
Yeah.
You're part of this.
Yeah.
Could you imagine us investigating a felony and in lieu of an arrest, we just had them sign a paper they weren't going to do it again?
Dude. No.
I'm going to
fucking imagine that.
Imagine
showing up on an ag assault. Look, hey, Billy, instead of me taking you to jail, if you sign this paper that says you're not going to do it again, we'll call it good.
Well, you guys.
Fuck that.
You wouldn't get away with that. So why did
Hell
they?
No.
How do they get away with it?
Well, because we're cops and everybody hates cops.
Interesting point to this. So I've got a court case coming up with a case that I went with George, the dude who.
Oh, our producer that is a shitty, worst producer that's ever been produced.
He'll never produce if you talk about it like that, bro.
He hasn't been up here to produce in 3 years.
His name is Georgie.
So I want to call Georgie, and you know this call I'm talking about. We had our buddy who had his freaking wiener out, and George's body cam was pointing at the whole time.
Oh, the snuff film. You told that on the podcast.
I've been on that dude twice.
Two more times. Okay. So I'm going on court for this guy, for this instance that we had to tune him up a little bit. And I got an email. I got an email from the prosecutor, and I was like, hey, man, listen, I know we got court next week. I said, what is my... what does it look like? How much time am I going to have to be in court? I'm the sergeant for the West Side. I ran the whole gig. There's no other sergeants out there. So I'm kind of, it's like necessary that I'm going to be there. So I'm trying to get a time frame for when I'm going to have to testify and whatnot. And so he finally, after a bunch of back and forth, gets back with me and tells me that, you know, you're looking probably going to have to be like noon till about four, somewhere in that region. Try to get me up there to testify first, which is whatever. I'm trying to get a time frame, right? But here, this is how he ends his email. Also, the suspect has several court cases in the lower court, some of which include acts of violence. I don't typically take this view of a defendant, but I think the guy is more than just a typical drug user and is instead a violent actor. I'm like, you don't typically take this view of a guy. It's like, you don't take views of people. How about this? You don't take views of people regardless. You look right at their actions.
You say, exactly.
He's a violent offender. Well, guess what? He's a freaking violent offender. That's what he is. Yeah. You don't have to put anybody in a bucket. And that's why I was referencing what we're talking about here.
Sure.
You don't have to put anybody in a bucket, but their actions are what they are, right? Your actions are what you are. So if you're a person committing violent crimes, then that's what you are.
Yeah.
You're a violent offender.
Yep.
You know, take this view of somebody. I just don't understand what that is. Like,
if
this person's committing violent crimes, you're not going to view them as a violent person? Is that what he's telling you?
They're trying to separate, like, well, they're trying to view them as a person whole. And then what they've done, it's like, you can't separate that.
No.
You look at what they've done.
You are your actions.
Yeah. So if he's committed violent acts, you can't be like, well, I don't tip. No, either he's committed violent acts or not.
Yeah.
And if he has, then that's the view you take. Exactly. He's a violent person. He's committing violent acts.
He's a violent crime doer. He did crimes with violence.
He's a doer multiple of times. Crime. Violently.
Yeah. So I just don't understand that thought process, right? That's kind of odd to me. So relating back to what we were talking about.
I don't view him as a child molester. He's only molested one child. So I don't like to view him as a child molester.
Yeah. He just molested children.
He just molested.
But he's not a child molester. That's talking about, like, we don't call them pedos anymore, or they don't want to in California, especially.
Yeah.
Oh, they just did this on the border. Like, we're not going to call them illegals because that gives a negative connotation. We're going to call them migrants. It's like, well, they're illegally crossing the border. It's an illegal alien.
That makes them illegal migrants.
That's an illegal alien.
There's a process and a way to do it legally,
yeah,
which like lots and lots of people do.
Just call. So that's what they do, is they try to massage the verbiage, mm-hmm, try to massage the words to make it so you aren't calling something what it is.
Right.
Because now it kind of takes the focus off that, which is like, no, you need to have the focus on that. That's what we're worried about.
Kinder, gentler.
They're trying to change the narrative by changing the verbiage. It's like, hey, listen, you're making it like it's a bad thing. It's really not a bad thing. Well, are they committing a crime? Yeah. Then it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
Right?
We as society have deemed these acts to be so heinous that they are punishable by certain
levels. Somewhere at one point was like, I'm going to call this a crime. Everyone's like, yeah, that's a crime. Yeah. And now we're like, no, is it really a crime?
Really a crime to fuck small children? No. Yeah.
Not in California.
Interesting. Do you call somebody who kills somebody murder?
Yeah.
Like somebody who or undeservedly or whatever kills that person. Call them a murderer? Why wouldn't you? Nobody has issue with that.
Yep.
Or do you call a Terry a Terry?
Yeah.
Call a terrorist a terrorist, bro?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Call them a terrorist, right? How soon is it they're going to be trying to change the context for that too?
Oh.
Well, they already did when they tried to declare veterans as terrorists or put them on active watch lists.
Veterans and also parents.
Yeah.
Speaking out against the
school boards and
school
stuff.
School boards. Yeah. You are terrorists.
Yeah, looking as a national terrorist organization.
No.
Or on the terrorist watch list. Yeah, crazy. So yeah, the narrative. I think that's interesting. So was that the end of that story?
Yeah.
Did you make that turn that good?
Give us a happy ending.
Happy ending.
Well, hopefully the dad dropped the soap in jail. Orange is the new black for mom.
If those dudes don't get sentenced to prison, dude,
I guess they got a taste of their own medicine for a minute. They were locked up, you know?
But deservedly so.
Deservedly so, absolutely.
Deservedly so. It'd be better if we'd locked them up and they didn't deserve it.
What would be better?
So that should be their punishment. It's like, okay, instead of getting this 10-year sentence, you get a 20-year sentence.
No one would be better is locking them up and then completely forgetting about them. They don't get fucking commissary. They don't get rec time, yard time. Like, we haven't been down to that corner of the fucking prison in like 10 years. What's down there? It's just a fucking skeleton in a room, a fucking skeleton. Is this where we store Halloween decorations?
Yeah.
Guys.
If they're locked up, they don't have to be supervised.
You bring them out and you put them up in October.
Fuck yeah.
It's two fucking actual dead ass bodies.
Where's the wire that's supposed to hold these bones together?
You just connect all the bones with like duct tape.
Duct tape.
Holy shit. They look at the jumpsuit and they're like, oh, that's a real real jumpsuit.
Like, oh, they look up the inmate number. Holy fuck.
We forgot about this. How long has it been? 10 years?
It's been 10 years.
Nobody would be sad.
Would you be just bones by that time? 10
in
years?
A year?
10 years.
Oh, 10 years? Yeah.
Bones.
I think there's probably enough, I think there's enough decomp and
you're in a cell.
But even then,
you've got a lot of elements there.
You got a lot of good airflow though.
Desiccate, all that.
I don't know how that works. I would say yes, because 10 years is a long time.
Typically, the elements are the things that really help decompose.
Elements are one, but still, even in a moderately climate controlled room for 10 years, I mean, there's going to be a lot of sticky, nasty. But I think after like a couple years, you know, your skin would turn.
It's got rodents and stuff that are through there, probably going to munch on. Oh,
and plus, all the decomp is going to produce maggots, and so they've got to have something to eat.
I mean, we've seen guys. I mean, I've seen dead bodies in homes that have been in homes, you know, a couple weeks. They're going through the decomp.
Yeah,
and they're like melting back into their bed or the floor. Yeah. It looks like they're melting into the.
That's what makes the Halloween decoration so real.
That's only a couple weeks.
They're like, man, these decorations actually have the smell with it too.
These are
really good,
top notch.
Somebody went to Hollywood for these.
Giving it a sniff, the look. Salty.
You get a lick tested? Is that what you do with the Halloween decorations?
Oh. Yeah.
Gross.
Because like, what if it's a fruit roll-up skin? Not real skin, but fruit, like, oh, they covered in fruit roll-ups.
Fruit roll-ups.
How wonderful.
Like, you like get the little texture on your finger and you're
just, oh, this is salty. Who makes salty fruit roll-ups? That's gross.
That's weird.
Gross. The same people that make salt and vinegar chips.
Ooh, delicious.
Psychos.
I love those.
They're good. The best
it's like
ones.
My favorite.
Are you guys?
My favorite, dude. I love them. Salt and vinegar. Put it in my mouth. So I say about most things, actually. Yeah, Jeremy, coming over later?
I'm coming.
Hell yeah. All right. I got a couple. Can I tell some street stories?
Yeah.
Yes. Please.
Usually been yelling at me, no, last time I've asked that a couple times on our previous episodes. But hey, can I tell the street story?
You're like,
no. I'm like, okay, cool.
Well, because I'm fully engulfing myself in the no why. If you're going to ask a question, I'm just going to say no why.
All right. So these are a couple good stories from recent here at our police department. So this one, they're pretty quick though. So this one is, I found it humorous. So a man shows up out at our state prison, which is near where we work. And he's there to pick his brother up, who's getting released from the prison. He's getting out. So mom drives there. She's got the son who's going to go in and collect his brother out of the prison as he's getting released. So this guy goes inside, gets to the guards. They do name checks to get his ID and make sure he's who he is. And as they run him, they find out that he's got warrants. He got felony warrants.
Oh.
So they call us and we go out there and we arrest the brother for his warrants as his other brother's getting out of prison.
Hell yeah.
Take his ass to jail. Yes.
Swapsies.
Had to find a new ride.
I trade you one.
So mom had to trade one son for the other son.
Oh, that's awesome. That makes me so happy. I love those types of things.
How funny is that? So the cop doing the call, she calls me up. She's like, hey, Sarge, this is when I'm out. I'm out on this call here at the prison. I'm arresting this guy for his warrants as he's going to pick his brother up to get him out of the prison. And I said, awesome. What? Hold on. You just made my day. That's freaking hilarious.
So obviously the dude had to know he had warrants.
I mean, obviously, you got warrants.
You miss a felony court date? Like,
first of all, you know you committed a crime.
Yeah.
Secondly, yes. Have you gone to court for that crime? No, you probably should have. Okay, cool. Even if you didn't, technically, no, you know that you're probably wanted for some reason.
If you've committed a crime and you've been arrested and booked into jail and released, you're like, there's got to be some follow-up somewhere down the road.
Exactly.
Very few times have I served a felony warrant and taken them to jail and they didn't know about it. They'll play coy. Oh, I have a warrant?
I called on that.
I called.
Yeah. Typically what it is. It's not like, I didn't know I had a warrant. Oh my gosh. Like we would. If somebody came to you and said, hey, you got a warrant. It's like, what the fuck? I got a warrant. No, I don't.
You almost had a warrant. Like,
huh?
You almost had a warrant.
Yeah, well. Did I tell that story?
Huh?
Did I tell
not
that story?
On here. Not on you here. Told you us, but not on you. But it's usually once they see the actual warrant, right? Because sometimes I'll show them like, look, dude, you got this. This is you, right? Yeah. I was supposed to go to court, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Like, well, typically it's like, I called on that.
Like,
I called on that warrant so they know that something's there. Mm-hmm. So for him to show up out there, maybe he didn't know he's going to get checked. I don't know.
You know what would be awesome if it was like a Federal Board of Prisons, like where you had to go straight back to prison?
Yes.
So they just take him. They just take him from the release. They just take him over to the intake.
You just tell the brother, "Hey, take off your fucking jumpsuit. Give it to your brother."
This other line.
And watch the prison. They call us out to do that for them. It's like we need the cops out here to take him from one line to the other.
Oh, that's
from
so
processing
funny.
Outtake to intake.
Have you seen that movie, Idiocracy, with Luke Wilson?
I've seen it. I can't remember the premise, though.
So he's in the military. They want to do some experiment, like on putting him to sleep for a long time. So,
oh, I haven't seen it. No, I want to watch it. I haven't seen it.
So him and Maya Rudolph, this is a movie was made in the early 2000s. So he goes, it's supposed to be for like a year, but the project ends up getting shut down. These things get moved and it ends up being for like 500 years. So then they wake up and the future, everyone's fucking stupid. Mm. Like they only drink, like it's all advertisers and everyone's stupid. So he gets arrested. Basically, he's the smartest man in the world. Luke Wilson is. So he gets arrested and like goes to the guy, the prison guard. He's like, I'm actually supposed to be getting out today. And he's like, slaps him. He's like, you dummy, that's that line over there. So he just walks to their line and gets out.
This is called what?
Idiocracy.
Idiocracy. I want to watch this movie now.
It's so Terry Crews is the president.
Oh yeah.
So it's funny you bring that up. So when we do our DUI investigation, we have the ability to either take that person to jail, person that's being charged, or we can release them to a sober party that's an adult and they can take custody of their drunk person.
Depending on the DUI for sure. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Depending on circumstances. We had one where I was assisting because they did a blood draw or something. And so for whatever reason, the officer elected to let him be released. Yeah. Right. Have somebody
find a responsible party.
Mm-hmm. If I have to write a warrant, like, I'm sorry, you're going to jail.
You're going to jail.
Like, that's my opinion. Not my investigation, not my call. So the person comes to pick up the drunk person, their friend or whatever. And so being the good backing officer that I am, I run the guy's driver's license, make sure it's valid, not suspended. Some other guys are having him blown a PBT. Dude has like three or four separate felony warrants. And so I walk over to him and I'm like, this is you? He's like, yeah. Cause the driver's license picture was older.
Yeah.
And you know, what's the last four of your social? He gives me his full social and everything matches up. And so I put one hand on his shoulder and the other hand on his forearm. I'm like, do me a favor and turn around and put your hands behind your back. And all he says is, God damn it. I freaking knew I should have said no. put the handcuffs on him. And I'm like, you knew you had warrants. He's like, yeah, damn it. Oh, he's like, I owed this guy a favor. So I figured I'd come in his buddy. I'm like, well, this is probably a favor you should have denied. He's like, God damn. He was so pissed.
We had a DUI one day.
That was awesome.
We were calling somebody to get them out of there. You know, a responsible party.
Yeah.
A responsible party pulls up and they park. As they pull up, their tires run up over the curb. And I'm like, oh, what the fuck? The person gets out and kind of saunters up to us, drunk as shit.
Yes.
So we had a DUI, going to release him to a responsible party. The person who shows up to pick him up was DUI as well.
DUI.
We got two DUIs. And at that point in time, I was like, I've got too much work on my hands. We're just going to take you both to jail. I'm not calling somebody else. I'm going to call somebody else. They're going to be drunk too.
Hell yeah. That's awesome.
Drunk person shows up. I'm like, oh, fuck. Well, that's what happens.
Call those twofers. Twofers.
That's
good. Jail. Let's see. I got another one. So the other day, it's actually after I'd been editing forever. So I'd been up for a long time. I'd been up for 35 hours or something like that. And so it's the middle of the day. I'm like, I'm going to try to catch a nap. And next thing I know, right, and I'm laying down to go to sleep, I'm getting a phone call from Joss. She's out of the house. Calls me. She says, hey, sheriff just called me and says that he really needs to talk to you. And so I gave him your number. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And I was out running errands and it was really windy. I was outside when I was talking to him and I could barely hear him. I kept having to ask him to repeat himself and
because of the wind.
Yeah. And wind, he's kind of mumbling. Yeah. Softer. Mumbling. Like, okay. I don't know. Yeah.
But he's a mumbler.
So anyways, she gives him my number. So next thing I know, as I'm on the phone with Joss, because she's telling me that she just gave this freaking sheriff my phone number.
Call you.
I'm getting a phone call and it's like a local number, claims that he's the sergeant of the department down for where we kind of live. And he's telling me that I missed court, just like as jury duty summons. And because of that, the judge has issued a warrant for my arrest for failure to appear in contempt of court.
Hell yeah.
Two warrants is what he tells me.
Cool. You criminal.
That's what he tells me. And I'm like, cool. Okay, like when did I said, when did I receive my subpoena for court? You received it back in November and we have your signature on file that you received it. Said, you sent it via certified mail and I signed it and sent it back to you guys? Yep, we did. And I have it here on file and we'll do some handwriting confirmations to make sure that it's yours, because I'm denying that I signed anything because I didn't sign shit. So like, this seems odd, right? But I'm continue asking him some questions, keep it on the phone, kind of digging into it. And I said, okay, so what, can I show up down there to the sheriff's department and we can figure this out? It's like, no, if you get off the phone with me, I'm just going to file these charges and we're going to get warrants out for your arrest.
Oh, okay.
I said, okay, well, what's my alternative? He says, well, we can place these in abeyance and you can pay your bond fee. And once we get off the phone with the bond fee, I'll set you up with the judge and you'll have a Zoom meeting with the judge. And then due to what you've told me, he'll probably release your bond. You'll get your money back. I said, oh, okay. Well, how do I send you the money? He says, well, you need to send it to me via, I was totally expecting him to say Western Union, but he tells me, you can send it via Google Pay or PayPal. And I said, oh, okay. Well, what's the price that I got to pay to get these in bond so I don't get charged criminally? He says, well, it's $2,000 a piece. So it's $4,000. And I start laughing. He's like, what are you laughing about? I said, dude, $4,000. You expect me to pay $4,000? I said, okay, I don't have that kind of money, first off. And secondly, I'm not going to pay you over the phone. This is bullshit. I said, how about I just show up down there at the court? At the sheriff's department. He's like, no, you can't do that. If you do that, then you're going to have these warrants out for your arrest. I'm going to come and arrest you. I said, bro, come and arrest me. So you're going to come and arrest me? I said, so in the meantime, I'm walking out to the family room where my boy is. He's got another phone. I was like, yo, I said, call the sheriff's department and ask them like if they've received scams like this. Cause I'm thinking it's a scam now. I'm like, this doesn't seem legit. This is so stupid. Tell me to pay over the phone.
Pay your bond before you're already arrested.
Yeah, right. Okay. Like this is, it doesn't make sense. So we call down the sheriff's department. But right then Joss is walking in. So I tell Joss, I'm like, hey, call the sheriff's department. So she calls, confirms it's bullshit. Okay, cool. I just wanted to confirm before I freaking went scorched earth, earth on this motherfucker. And so
before it ends up being the dude that just knocks on your door 2 minutes later.
Well, I'll tell you what, come down and get some. So that's basically what I told this guy. I was like, dude, it's like, first of all, I'm not paying your fucking ransom because that's what this is. Say, I don't have any fucking court documents that I have to go take care of. This is bullshit. I'll tell you what, I'm going to find you. And when I find you, I'm going to cut your face off and I'm going to wear it like a mask as I destroy everybody you love in your life. I said, have you seen the terminalist? That's going to look like a walk in the park compared to what I'm going to do to you. And he's like, I'm sorry. And he hangs the phone up.
I'm sorry.
Because I'm out there saying that to him on the phone. All of my children are out there. And actually, I called him
a neighbor kid.
Oh, and a neighbor kid. But also, I called him a bitch. I called him a bitch. And my little girl at the end of it, she's like, Dad, you said the B word. I'm like, he deserved it.
He deserved it.
Some people need to get called the B word.
Well, so I was like, he's talking to a bad guy. And that's the language that the bad guy speaks. Yes, exactly. So sometimes you have to talk to him in a way that they understand.
So the best outcome is when somebody pisses off your daughter and be like, that's a bitch. Because she's a bad guy, mom.
Right? Yeah. Exactly. So, but you should have seen my kids' faces as I'm like saying this to this piece of shit on the phone. I get off the phone. I'm looking over at my kids and they're like, that was awesome. And my boy, one of my boys was like, Dad, that was epic. We should have recorded that.
That would have been dope.
Post it on the socials, baby.
Yeah. I hate these scammers, dude.
Oh, dude, they're getting pretty elaborate.
Yeah, they made it look,
that was elaborate, bro.
That was pretty good.
I have our county's sheriff department, like the non-emergency line, saved to my phone.
Yeah.
So it showed up as that. Like it.
They
was
spoofed the phone.
They spoofed it, yeah.
And then they gave us a name of an officer who is an officer in the county up here.
Because, you know, they do social media posts like that, and they post people's freaking faces and their names on there. So it's easy to go find out what the number is to the and spoof that number and then find somebody who they post on their social media pages and pretend that you're one of these people.
Yeah.
That's what he was doing.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Said the sergeant's name and everything like that. So what's interesting, the last part of this. So I had this happen. It was like a Friday. Go over the weekend. My day is off or whatever, get back to work the next week. I'm in lineup telling this story. I tell the story to everybody and we're having a good laugh about it. We get out of lineup. We go out, start handling calls. Within an hour of being out on the streets, I look at a call that comes in with the exact same details I told everybody. And because I told him about this, the guy who gets the call is like, oh shit, I'm going to check this out. And he goes over and investigates it. Exact same details that I'd utilized with different names and different areas, but the same kind of stuff that I'd been saying.
Was it with our city or did they go with the county?
County. Yeah, with the county.
And they wanted to talk to like a citizen in our city or what?
So the person who had made the call to us to let us know this was going on was a citizen of our city saying, this seems odd. I'm getting a phone call
from some officer.
From somebody who says they're a sheriff and they're trying to get me to pay this money for these things or else I'm going to get warrants for my arrest. And it was for missing jury duty. It's exactly the same as mine. Same premise. Just different names and locations, obviously. And so obviously the officer goes out there tells him it's bullshit.
Good time for a PSA.
Yeah, it's PSA. Hey, baby.
So for all those listeners who don't know, cops will never call and ask for money over the phone ever. That's not legit.
No.
Never.
We don't accept Venmo. We don't accept PayPal. OnlyFans donations, sure.
So
you can pay it through OnlyFans.
Another way that I was testing this piece of shit on the phone, I said, okay, cool. Maybe I'm giving the bad guys knowledge here, but maybe you guys can use it if you need to, if they call you up and you're trying to verify if it's real. He's telling me all these things and he reads off this freaking, like an email that I had utilized to send my money through to the MoneyGram or whatever the fuck it was. And I said, okay, cool. It's long and it's got a bunch of different characters. I said, oh, can you read that to me phonetically? He's like, yeah, it's A as in apple, you know, B as in boy, C as in K, character. I don't know.
You start saying weird sorry.
Shit. Yeah, S is in sorry. It's like, can you read it to me the normal phonetic way that they utilize in military and police?
It's like no cop would read.
Yeah.
He goes silent.
Unless you're from the East Coast.
You're full of shit, bro.
We have a dude who is from the East Coast in my academy class, and he did the old phonetics.
Or Tom Mary.
Yeah. And so we would be in training scenarios, and he would start rattling off that stuff in phonetics, and Kyler, he would call out, what is that? Is that in English, or is that the Queen's English? And he would just,
what are you, Canadian?
Yeah, in his East Coast accent. He's like, that's what I've been doing for the last, you know, like 16 years. Like, we don't do that in this state. Like, here, we use real phonetics.
Okay, yeah, he's a cool dude.
He's funny. We nicknamed him the Iceman.
Oh, yeah?
Because his new hire picture, everyone's in like a suit and tie, right? Shirt and tie, looking fancy. Brandy was in her whatever dress or whatever. This fucking dude shows up with a shirt and tie, but a leather jacket and his hair slicked all the way back.
Oh, yeah.
Looking like a freaking mob hitman. The Iceman. So we called him the Iceman. I'll still call him that every once in a while when I see him. What's up, Iceman? He's like, shh. Keep that shit on the down low. I'm like, bro, you still have like 19 years before you can retire. He did that every once in a while when we were out on the street in FTO. You'd hear it over the radio. He'd call out for a traffic stop.
Tom, Mary, Queen.
I love when they do that. We had a guy from my class who just never learned the phonetics, and he would just say whatever the hell he wanted. He'd be like, he'd just say the weirdest shit. Yeah. Queen.
One of my good friends was up in dispatch, and we are big Harry Potter nerds, and so whenever she was running the channel and I'd run plates, I'd try to throw out like Harry Potter references, like 4 or 5 Voldemort, Potter.
No, you did not.
Hufflepuff.
Oh my
Ravenclaw. God.
So my goal, because I used to dispatch, so my goal was to try to get each one of our dispatchers on the channel to laugh or to like break their normal radio voice. And one dispatcher, it took me forever, but I keyed up one day as Juan 35, because I was a Charlie unit, my call sign was 135, and so just like I wasn't even trying, I just keyed up Charlie Juan 35, and it took her like 6 seconds before she keyed up. I'm like, did I not go over? So I'm about to key up, and she keys, she goes over the radio, Charlie 135, go ahead. But she's laughing. And so I, you know, Charlie Juan 35, and go through my normal radio traffic. Somebody else had to patch the channel. The east side dispatcher had to patch over the channel and, you know, do the whole radio traffic for her, because she's in the back just laughing.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, that's what got you? I've said some funny shit on the radio, but Juan 35 got you.
Juan 35.
So two of our dispatch friends are on a little road trip to go do some gambling, and one of them texts me on their trip last night, and she says, anyway, they're listening to one of our episodes, and they were like, we had to look up what docking was, and thanks to you, we've been laughing for 20 minutes. The whole trip's been thrown off. And I was like, first of all, you two were the last people that I would have figured that had to look that up to know what that was. Second of all, you're welcome for our service.
Was that our most recent one when I talked about the, you can eye dock your eye cock?
Yes, yep. That was funny.
Yep.
Eye dock.
Chinese penis trap.
I was like, you guys really didn't know what docking was? Like, I know for a fact you two know what that is.
Personal experience.
Yeah. They're, never mind. You know what? I almost said they're women. I'm not going to assume shit.
You can't assume anything nowadays, dude. Come on.
Very well could be from personal experience.
You can be a female and still understand what that is and have an experience. You can be a facilitator.
Third-party facilitator.
I'm sorry. Explain that one to me.
Someone's got to pinch the penis trap in the middle to release it.
Yeah. They have to. Yeah. Or be like the person who's like guiding him in.
Yeah.
Maybe pulling it back.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Why does that have to be a third party? Like,
it can be. People, I'm saying, have their hands free. They can.
Oh, okay. It's not required.
No, it's not required. Okay. It's just a possible thing. Get more involved. Share the wealth.
Sometimes the hands are doing butt stuff too.
It's true.
Right?
Sometimes your hands are occupied.
Occupado. That's Spanish for gay.
Occupado?
Yeah.
Stop saying it.
It's offensive.
Okie dokie.
All right. Well, guys, thanks for tuning into that portion of the Savages and the Screet Stories. Fitz has brought us a Savage today. Fitzy, what you got?
This is out of New Jersey, and this is a couple weeks old.
New Jersey.
If you've already heard this or seen the video, then oh well. This is from the New York Post.
Was it a Snooki sighting?
Yes.
Snooki.
The elusive creature.
Gotta watch out for those snooks.
So the title says, New Jersey cop slams own police chief onto car hood after boss allegedly shows up drunk to an accident scene.
Nice.
And there is a video that goes along with it, and it's pretty good. So a Jersey Shore police chief was suspended after reportedly showing showing up drunk, to an accident scene and getting into a scuffle with one of his own officers, who later slammed his boss onto the hood of a police cruiser and told the chief to leave before he gets a problem.
Jersey Shore? Do you say Jersey Shore?
No, he made the joke about Jersey Shore.
I'm like,
no,
is that legit a place called Jersey Shore?
It said Jersey Shore.
You did.
Did I?
You said a Jersey Shore police chief.
Yeah.
Ah, fuck, maybe. Okay, I don't know if it's Jersey Shore or not. I don't think it is.
Jersey Shore?
New Jersey.
Is that a police department?
That elusive Snooki got in his brain.
It's Bradley Beach. Shut up. You said Snooki. That's Bradley, what you said Snooki, and that's why I said
Bradley Beach, Jersey
Shore. That's why I said Jersey Shore.
That's why she's a supernatural creature, because she got in your brain.
Your fault.
There is a Jersey Shore police department. And they have a 3-star rating on Google, so.
Oh.
Better than some.
So the confrontation between Bradley Beach Police Chief Leonard Guida and Sergeant William Major erupted on the night of November 9th when the chief allegedly walked up to a suspected drunk driving crash on Main Street and began berating Major about his uniform. So if you watch the video, the video initially shows up with the chief on scene, and he is berating. He's telling the sergeant that essentially he's wearing a unauthorized jacket, which
your fucking jacket
in my opinion is some piddly bullshit.
Like,
but
on scene, bro, that's on not scene, the place.
In the middle of an investigation,
not the time or place.
Correct.
So as a supervisor, like, let's say you show up to a scene.
He is the supervisor.
That's what I'm saying. Supervisor Jake.
Oh, okay.
So as a supervisor, you show up on scene, and let's say one of your officers has like an unauthorized hat that's not like crazy. Let's say it's a hat that was made for a specific unit, not authorized to wear, but
yeah,
you know, for, let's say it
and
was
they're
like
in the middle of the call.
Yeah, let's say for just for shits and giggles, like a canine hat or I don't know, whatever you fucking want to call it. But they have an unauthorized hat on.
Yeah.
So like, how do you deal with that? In the middle of a call, you see that.
First of all, I'm not going to say shit while the call is going on. As soon as the call is over, say something. I'm going to wait until everything's done. We've got the matter at hand taken care of.
Right.
But if it's not egregious, right? If it's something that's a safety violation, then okay, I'm going to say something like, hey, right, buddy, you forgot your fucking gun.
Where's
not
your gun
in your holster,
today?
Right? I'm going to say something. But if it's something that's just like a policy violation.
A minor policy violation.
I'm not going to say shit until the call's over. And then at that point in time, then I'll address it, right? Just like you should.
Yeah.
That's all I do.
This guy doesn't.
No, obviously.
So the chief on the recording, you can hear him say, why you got a jacket on that's not fit to be worn? Get rid of it. That's ridiculous. You're a sergeant, for God's sake. So Major takes the jacket off, fine, walks back up to the smashed up car to continue his investigation. But the chief's not done. The chief keeps trying to engage him in conversation. He tries to call him back, hey, come talk to me, come talk to me. And the sergeant keeps telling him, like, chief, we're in the middle of an investigation. I'll come talk to you when we're done. Like,
yeah,
relax.
And the chief is there as not a citizen. In incapacity.
Correct. He is not an official police.
He walked up on it on Main Street.
He walked up on
correct.
It on his own time.
And he's drunk. See, and he's drunk. You're usually on scenes while you're sober, right?
Typically. Yeah, like most
typically?
Of the time. You know, sober. What's sobriety?
That'll make a difference.
It's a loosely defined word.
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
Six of one.
Yeah, it's like if you're under a certain point.
You're under blood, a certain point oh something, you're yeah. fine.
Zero alcohol in my system when I work. That's a yeah. fact.
So a couple other, you see in the video, a couple officers try to step in between them and get the chief to calm down. Well, the chief decides to strap on his big brass balls and starts walking into the scene. And essentially, at one point, he grabs the sergeant to try to pull him
like
over
pulls
the
him
sidewalk.
His yeah. shoulder or something like that.
And the sergeant yells, don't you touch me, yells as he grabs the swaying chief by his lapels, threw him up on the hood of a police cruiser, says, don't you fucking touch me. You have a problem. You grabbed me. Now you get, now get out of here before you get a problem. Lifted Guida back up off the car, pushes him towards the sidewalk, and he starts muttering that his boss was drunk again. You can actually hear it.
That was one point on I watched video, the video. Yeah. He's like fucking drunk again.
Yep.
So obviously this is a reoccurring issue.
Yeah. Yeah. So the chief starts telling officers, the other officers that are on scene, take him in. He wants the sergeant arrested. Nobody moves to the sergeant at all.
Yeah.
All the officers essentially go to the chief to get him out of the scene. So
good on them.
Yeah. And so the sergeant keeps telling him, chief, get out of here. You're going to get locked up. Chief, you're going to get locked up. You're grabbing me. I asked you 3 times to leave me alone. You're obstructing my DWI. Grabbed me. You're out of line. It's on video. Not going to argue with you. And the chief suspends him right there on the spot, and
he has no authority to do that.
Yeah, but he cedes to it. There's some back and forth, but the sergeant essentially turns the investigation over to somebody else, and I think he gets in his car and drives away. I didn't watch
it. No, so there was like an exchange, because he's trying to like, you're done, you're suspended, and then he's like, okay, well then I'm going home. He's like, no, you're suspended, meet me at the station. He says, no, if I'm suspended, I'm going home. And the chief's like, no, you're suspended, you're gonna meet me back at the station. Like,
but you're drunk, chief, you have no authority right now.
Wasn't it like the exchange is like, Yeah. He wants him to be suspended and then go meet him at the station. Yeah. He's like, dude, I'm going home. Yeah. If you're suspending me from duty, I'm going home.
Yeah. He suspends him. And so I think, I can't remember if it was another sergeant that shows up or maybe it's a watch commander, but he essentially turns to the overall supervision of that incident to somebody else and then gets in his car and bounces.
2 points.
What does a watch commander do? Like, what the fuck, dude?
Well, for us, watch commander. So this is a graveyard shift.
No, I'm just saying, like, this, I cannot believe that this guy is like let stay on scene, that he isn't taken away, and that they ceded to him the sergeant being put on suspension. That blows my mind. I'm sorry. But if I've got an individual who's higher up than me, they show up off duty and they're drunk and I'm in the middle of something and they try to do what this guy did and I slam that guy on the freaking, I'm like, okay, take him away. I'm going to assign somebody to take him away. He's off my scene now. He's getting off my scene, whether by force or by his, you know, reluctance to do it on his own. Let's say he does it. He's getting off my scene. And then after the scene's done with, then I'll deal with all the freaking bullshit that comes with that. And I'm contacting freaking the union. I'm contacting my supervisor. If it wasn't my supervisor, somebody else, but I'm contacting chain of command all the way up through the freaking chain of command.
Yeah,
absolutely. 100%. And I'm not being relieved of duty unless somebody else does it. He's not doing
right.
It.
And it sounds like
the watch commander shows up and does it.
Yeah. Okay.
It sounds like this sergeant was like a working sergeant. Like there were some guys on scene, but he was also there.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't see that very often, but you've got a working sergeant handling, like, let him handle his business. And then if you've got a minor policy violation you want to get after, about it afterwards.
It's asinine.
But,
and he was a drunk idiot. Like, what are you thinking?
That's
become so commonplace. Apparently, he's allowed to do it.
And that's an arrest, right? You're interfering with an investigation. Public intoxication.
Interfering.
Disorderly conduct.
Bro. And if he grabs you by the arm, like, that's assault, brother.
That's assault.
That's assault.
I would.
I fully support the officer's actions, the sergeant's actions. 100%. To, like, and even it's like, dude, you grabbed me. Now we're in a different level. I'm trying to investigate this.
Especially DWI. I told you multiple times, dude.
And I know that
you touch me.
He says, I told you 3 times. Yeah. Like, get out of here.
I know you're intoxicated and you're interfering with my scene. Like, I'm going to handle business.
So this incident was
good on that sergeant for sticking up for himself, right?
Yeah. So this incident happened in November. This was written the end of February. So it says the chief suspended the sergeant on the spot after some back and forth, the discussion that Jeremy and I were talking about. Major, the sergeant has since returned to duty. It doesn't say when he was brought back. I'm assuming it probably wasn't too long. But the chief, who is still suspended and he remains on administrative leave, the police department, it's 18-member police department, so they're all fairly
tight. They'll know each other.
Tight.
Thing about it is, how do you retain your job? First of all, you're committing crimes. Secondly, how much can you truly have influence for the good with the guys on your department now? You've lost all your credibility. Yeah. You lost all your credibility.
No,
you are not a leader.
No.
Right? You're not a leader. Sorry, you're not a leader. You can't lead shit.
Well, and it seems like, and I'm just reading between the lines here, but it seems like that maybe a lot of the guys felt that way, because when the chief was like, hey, you take care of the sergeant, all the guys were like, they didn't do shit.
So they know first of all, they know he's out of line.
Yeah.
And secondly, they're probably done with this
shit. And that sergeant was, he looked like a pretty good sized dude.
The sergeant?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the chief was kind of a smaller guy, but
I'm assuming the camera's probably where most people put it, somewhere on his upper chest. And the camera seemed to be looking like Chief almost at like chin.
Directly chin in his to ocular mouth level. Cavities.
So the sergeant's he's a pretty good sized dude.
Dude, and when I saw that video, I thought of two people. I thought about you and the other officer sergeant who's related to you, right? Thought about, man, who better to slam a supervisor on the hood of a car than these two homies?
Than these two behemoths?
And I can imagine somebody like, younger officers, arrest this sergeant. Okay. What? How? Where's my army, number one?
Me and what army, sir?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I would now go quietly into that night.
Do you have Sauron with you to help? Because that's what it's going to take.
Taking negative. You need to leave my scene right now for your own health and safety.
Could you, I couldn't even imagine. I could not imagine that happening here. No. Not saying that it's not plausible.
No, it's possible.
Right, but the actual ridiculousness of that whole thing.
Pretty insane, dude. Yeah, pretty insane. That guy has megalomania. Got that power.
Well, he's probably ran the department however he wants for so long. He's like, I can do whatever I want. I can walk around publicly intoxicated.
Do what I want, man. I'm above the law.
I am the law. Steven Seagal begs to differ.
That's true.
And so our savage is Sergeant Major.
Sergeant Major.
Sergeant William Major of the Bradley Beach Police Department.
Why did he get easy names?
He did.
That's your bed. You picked it.
Sergeant Major, we salute you. Savage of the Week.
Sergeant Major is actually a rank in the military.
That's what I was saying. That's
what you're saying. That's why I said I salute you. Guys, thanks for listening in on this episode. It's a lot of fun. Tune in to The Savages. Find us on all of our socials.
Give us a fucking follow. If you're listening on whatever platform, give us a fucking follow. It's a button.
Give us a follow. So that means if you go to Instagram, follow us there. But also, listening on your device, whatever resource you go to, whether it be Spotify or Apple Podcasts or anywhere, hit that follow button and then give us a review. I have lots of people who listen. We have tons of people who listen and not a lot of reviews. The reviews we have are phenomenal. That's great. I love them.
We love the in-person reviews. I love it when you guys text us or
be honest. Be honest.
It helps out with the algorithm. It really helps it out.
No, don't be honest. Lie to us.
No.
Lie to me.
No, tell us
what you thought.
I want you to lie to me.
Tell us the good shit. All right.
Listen.
Five stars. Degrade me.
Five stars.
Give us a follow.
If you leave us a review degrading us in the most sexual way possible, Jake will give you a 30% discount code.
With five stars, though.
It's got to be a five-star sexual degrading review.
Listen.
I'm down.
Jake will
sexual
give you a
degrading. I don't think they'll let that post.
Jake will give you a...
Spotify won't let that post.
You have to put it in a way that there's a lot of sexual entendres.
Double entendres. Triple entendres.
Quadruple. I believe it's called an orgy of entendres.
An orgy tondra.
Leave us an orgy of entendres. In our reviews, and Jake will give you a 30% discount.
I'll do you one better. Do that, and Fitz will give you a happy ending.
Yeah.
I'll give you a happy ending.
See?
And it's not illegal because there's no monetary value.
What's the code?
Would it be if we're trading happy endings for reviews, is that considered a trade of goods and services?
I don't know. Nah. I'm not going to worry about it. I'll let the law decide. So,
as long as we sign a paper not to do it again.
If you give a review, I will go on and I will send you a link for your special discount code. 30% off. Seriously. I'll give you 30% off.
There has to be an orgy of innuendos.
It's
got to
be good. I mean, honestly, if you give me a freaking good review, I'm going to send you a 30% discount code. So
what a pushover.
Get us a review. 30% discount code coming your way.
Pushover.
It's an easy way to get yourself some easy merch. Discounted freaking merch.
I'm going to go leave us a review now.
You already get 30% off, bitch. All right. Well, anyway, on that note, guys, always remember, stay savage.
That was really gross.
Go fuck yourself, San Diego.
What the hell?